The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That's the Little Drummer Boy for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in to Radio Memphis around the world and from a proggy Christmas. And it doesn't get any proggier than that. And I know, speaking of being proggy and not getting any proggier than that, apparently Radio Memphis around the world is now being invaded by Radio Memphis Prog Time, which also happens every Sunday night starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and goes till 9.
Monday night, I believe you mean. Just saying.
Whatever.
Now we're here and we have friends calling in. So we have two of probably the most, at this point in time, maybe the most well-known drummers.
Speaking of drummer boys, yes. Speaking of drummer boys. So those of you, yes, those of you that are tuned in and, you know, and hanging out and having some fun, you guys are excited because you know that, you know, this is something that we enjoy doing, especially since we started Radio Memphis Prog Time.
Definitely.
And, you know, and they were able to call in, you know, for the holidays. And this is kind of, we're forcing the tradition and we're forcing the fact that we want to be the last interview that they take before the year ends. So with no further ado, we have Max and Mike Portnoy on the phone with us right now. Hey, guys.
Hey. How are you doing, man?
Oh, my goodness. How are you guys doing? It is so good to hear from you.
Thank you. We're doing good. We're hanging around the Christmas tree right now, getting ready to go do some more Christmas shopping. And as you said, doing the last interview of the year.
Wow, that is fantastic. And I'm so glad. I am so glad that you guys decided to make this your last interview, because we're going to force it on you. You guys know that, right?
Yeah. Well, it was nice hearing the Little Drummer Boy. To me, the greatest Prog Christmas album ever made. But it's also my wife's least favorite album of all time. She hates that album with a passion.
What?
Every time I try to put it on around the Christmas time, she's like, "What the hell is this? Turn this off."
What's wrong? Why?
Pauline is not a prog girl. She's a metal girl.
I can hang with her.
But that's a great forgotten album. A lot of Neil Morse and I have done now 20 albums together, and a lot of people, when I say that number, they try to do the math and count the album
and wrap their head around it.
Froggy Christmas is always the one that's always forgotten about.
No, so
it's a great classic.
It's a
fan that don't know it.
Fantastic and stuff. And you know, we have to give a big shout out. We actually have to give a big thank you, Phil and I do, to Randy George, to making sure that we got some Froggy Christmas because we needed that in our life here on the radio station. You know, and this has been, you know, absolutely, you know, and fantastic and stuff. Now I know you've got Max with you.
He's there. Hello.
How are you?
Quiet Portnoy.
I know. You can't be quiet, man. It doesn't work. You know, Portnoy's and quiet don't work. You know that, right?
It's okay. I let him do a lot of the talking.
Well, honey, it is good to hear from you because, you know, it was actually, you know, me being able to personally hear your voice. It was last time this year, you know, that I got to hear from you. And I have been stalking you and I have been following you, whether you knew this or not, and watching kind of your directions that you've been going. And you have been a very, very busy boy.
Yeah, thank you. This year has been pretty busy since, like, I basically just, like, launched a new band basically a year ago. Like,
right.
I guess we started, like, basically on the new year, 2018. So, like, it's coming up basically like a whole year of just grinding out shows and tours with Kala and doing a bunch of stuff. So it's been a busy year for all of us in the band.
That is fantastic, and it is so good to see you, you know, kind of rolling around and doing it. And you know, it's so funny. And for those of you that are tuned in, we are talking to they're fondly known as the Port Boys. I caught that post, Mike. And
yeah, that's the name my dad has come up with.
Absolutely, you know, Max and Mike Portnoy. But you know, Max, it's funny because I honestly believe, I think I've watched you like blossom and grow. Not okay. I don't want to be like this total mother figure thing because you know I'm proggy metal and you know I play all kinds of music too, so don't think that. But I watched you blossom and grow, and it's kind of one of those I'm seeing you kind of explode all of a sudden, you know. And it seems like you've got it seems like you got some big plans coming down the pike.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do everything that I'm like feeling. Like I did like all like the prog stuff with Next to None, which was fun, but I really wanted to kind of change it up and do more like new metal or hardcore kind of stuff.
Okay.
Which is good because I just had been like getting all ideas for that stuff, so it was good to like, instead of like forcing that on Next to None, which should like stay like a prog thing, I was able to just form a new outlet for all that stuff.
Right.
And I, you know, got a band with a bunch of other great guys that are like into that sort of stuff, so it worked out.
No, it definitely, most definitely worked out. You know, though, I have this. I know you think it's like this whole thing that we're going to do it with this, but I'm sorry, you've got too much of your dad in you. and I see you exploding into about 50 other projects soon.
Maybe.
Oh, see? See?
I can't say, like, I feel like going and doing, like, 50 other bands right now and, like, organizing all that like my dad does, but if I did do other bands, they would have to be different styles. They wouldn't be, like, the same as one of the pre-existing ones.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I mean, well, how do you feel about that, Mike? I mean, he doesn't want to bust into 50 bands like you. I mean, is that okay?
Well, it took me, I was 30 years into my career before I started, you know, doing it. I did spend the first 25 pretty exclusively with one band, and I think there's something to be said for that.
Sure there is.
Starting out, you know, just to really focus and put all your energy and time and passion into one band, because that's really the only way a band is going to make it.
Right.
You know, I branched off and started doing all these other things after Dream Theater, but
right.
You know, I was incredibly focused for those first 25 years, and that was a big part of how Dream Theater was able to grow and blossom and succeed.
Right, you're right. And you know, and it's, see, that's why we have him, Max. He's got this fatherly wisdom thing going. You know, I'm like, okay, Dad, all right, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, as fun as it would be to try different kind of, like, genres and styles,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
I think if I did anything like that, first, like, it wouldn't be for a while, and if I did do something soon, it wouldn't be anything, like, really serious. It might just be, like, a little studio thing, because,
right,
like, I'd focus all my time on, like, playing shows and touring with, like, Tala and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, those little studio things, yeah, that's what gets you, that's what gets you in the ass, okay? It's the little studio things that'll bite you and pull you in. But I'm just out of curiosity, Max, if you were to entertain another genre, because, you know, you've got a lot of folks that are tuned in, and a bunch of people were jumping in on some of the Instagram posts and stuff, and a lot of people found out that you were going to be on, you know, and they were so excited, and of course they know you from, you know, from the hardcore stuff that you're jumping into. But out of curiosity, if you were to step into another style or genre, where would that go?
Well, I'd obviously really like to do more prog stuff again, since, you know, it's been a while since I went back and did that, but
yeah,
since I already kind of do that, if you're talking about something completely different,
mm-hmm,
probably, like, totally different kind of, like, I don't know, like, chill vibey stuff.
Chill vibey?
I don't normally do, because everything I do normally comes around to, like, metal.
Right.
Like, even when I did prog, it was, like, prog metal still, and now, obviously, Tal is, like, new metal and hardcore, so.
Right,
it'd
right.
be something kind of without metal, something that's more relaxed and stuff.
Oh, my God, I don't know. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well,
like, what would you wear? Like, what would you wear? I'm trying to get this whole vision.
Flannels, maybe that'll work.
Oh my God, I got, okay. I'm gonna hold you to this, man. All right, we've recorded this. I'm gonna hold you to this. You know, it's one of those. Now, Mike. Okay, so you guys are pulling in. You know, let's get all family mode here for just a second, right? We have any traditions and stuff that you guys are jumping into, that you guys are wanting to get into for the holidays?
I'm sorry, that's okay.
No, I said no, that's okay. We're going to pull it in and get, like, real family, you know, family-oriented here for 2 seconds. You know, we're getting into the holidays, got the family in, you know, that kind of stuff. I said, are you guys getting into any kind of traditions and stuff that you're wanting to, you know, start?
Actually, this is the least Christmas we've ever had. Because Melody's not here in the house with us anymore. Melody
that's
lives
right.
in New York City. So
that's
this
right.
is, like, you know, last couple of years she was going to school in New York City, but coming home once school ended for the holidays.
Right.
So this time last year, she was here with us. But this year, you know, she graduated, so she's now just living in New York and working. So it's weird being in the house with just me, Max, and Marlene.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully Melody will be coming home in the next day or two, but it's been weird. And we've been going through a lot of family stuff as well, not to get heavy or personal, but
yeah,
we've had some family members in the hospital, and then we've also had family members that just had a baby. So,
oh wow,
our families, like, this month has been very, very strange. And then I was out in Nashville for Neil Morse's daughter's wedding. And
yes.
So it hasn't felt very Christmassy yet. This is like the latest we've ever put up a tree in our house.
Wow.
And but we're finally, you know, we're down to the wire here. It's the weekend before Christmas, so the tree is up, the stockings are hung, and
perfect.
You know, we'll do some Christmas shopping, and hopefully Melody will come home and it'll start to feel like Christmas by Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, see, now that's what Christmas is about. You know, it's funny that you say something, because I thought it was just me, but for some reason, like this year, it doesn't feel like Christmas yet.
Here. Well, it was also yesterday. It was like about 60 degrees outside.
Well,
you know,
that's here today
in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, the weather is even bizarre.
Yeah, it's like something's something's missing or something's off hook, or I don't know. Maybe Santa's lost. I'm not sure. I'm just throwing it out there.
So, speaking of Jada's wedding, I actually saw the clip this morning that Neil posted of
We can barely hear you.
Anyway, oh, I'm sorry about that.
Get on the mic a little better.
Yeah, yeah. I had actually seen the clip this morning of the AC/DC song from Jada's wedding last week that Neil posted. How was the covering different things at the wedding last week?
Yeah. Well, we just jammed on the spot. We Neil actually played bass because Randy wasn't at the wedding. So Neil played bass, and then Eric and Bill were in the band, and myself, and then Alan Morse on guitar. So it was the Neil Morse band with Alan joining us as well. It was fun. We just played some Beatles tunes, but it wasn't like, you know, we didn't like play like Happiness is a Warm Gun and Helter Skelter. We the dancey wedding band kind of Christmas.
They were fitting songs.
Like Twist and Shout, and I saw her standing there. And, and then we did, what else? We did, you know, a couple of fun songs, and then Neil's son came up and sang Back in Black with us. It was fun. I rarely get to play in a suit and tie, so it was a nice change of pace.
Well, that is kind of fun. I mean, but you know, yeah. Like, so your dad is like Neil Morse, right? And you're going to go get married. Dad's going to put the band back together, you know, to me.
Well, it was the end of the night, like, because they had a band playing, and then, you know, Neil was wanted us to go up and play a few songs at the end of the wedding, and everybody was having fun and dancing and having a good time to all the party music. And I'm thinking, oh man, we're really going to ruin the vibe here if we go up there and start playing. It's going to be such a buzzkill. It's going to be horrible. And it's going to look like we're just kind of trying to sweep in and get the last minute attention.
Of course.
So I was like real hesitant, like, do we really want to do this? But actually, once we went up and started playing, it was a lot of fun, and everybody danced. They continued dancing, so it wasn't much of a buzzkill, so it worked out okay.
Oh, see, that's perfect. Cool. That is very perfect. Yeah, we saw, because I think I saw one of the videos I saw of Neil. It was him and his daughter. It was like the night before, they're riding around in the car, and they're singing. I mean, they're singing their asses off.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, that's kind of cool. And, you know, and of course, I didn't realize that, you know, everybody that was, you know, that was practicing and putting out new albums and stuff like that were actually the people that were playing for her wedding. Now, that's even cooler.
Well, I was actually at Neil's house all that week before the wedding, actually for recording the new Flying Colors album. So yeah,
right.
Even though, you know, Neil's like in the other room with his family preparing the wedding, and I'm in the studio cutting drum tracks for Flying Colors. So, you know, Neil and I are probably two of the hardest workers you'll ever meet, and you know,
right.
we somehow have managed to strike that balance between, you know, music and family, and are able to do both at the same time.
You know what? It's amazing that you can do both at the same time. And I'm going to tell you, you know, with your wife, you know, yeah. with Neil's family and everybody, they're saints, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know in talking to Marlene when we were trying to figure out a date for the interview, and, you know, I gave her a list of dates, and then she sent me a list of dates you couldn't do. And So, being that we had to do it on a Saturday, it works out, but it was funny. We were originally, like, we were looking at maybe it was going to be January at this point.
Man, I think the list is, I mean, the
January is already filled for me.
See?
My year starts January 7th.
Wow.
And as of now, I'm booked from January 7th to June 1st. Like, literally.
Oh, my God.
Almost every day. So I have my, you know, the first half of 2019 all mapped out. And that's kind of the way I have to function, you know, with
sure,
all the bands
sure.
I'm in. I have to kind of know, you know, 6 to 9 months in advance exactly what's happening, or that's the only way things get scheduled.
And that's the only way you'll get scheduled.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it's going to be. Now, you know, Mike, you know, talking about your schedule and stuff like that, you unlike, you know, Max, now that you've put your 25 and 30 years in, and so now you're all over the place. I mean, you are literally all over the place, and it's so funny. And I know you get told this all the time. It's not like I can't open up, you know, some type of, you know, media or open up some news or anything like that. And it's something, and Mike Portnoy, and something at Allegiant, Mike Portnoy, flying colors, blah blah blah, Mike Portnoy. And it's kind of one of those.
I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's kind of, and it's one now. And the reason why I say all of these things is that, you know, we see your stamp everywhere, but one of the pieces that I wound up, you know, kind of picking up on, and it was actually, believe it or not, from Randy when we were talking to him, you know, last over on Prog Time. Randy had made the point and talking about the indie scene, and one of the things about you specifically pulling and yanking on everybody to come back up, you know, and coming through the ranks, and it's so funny because I'm listening to your schedule. And I'm listening to the family life, and I'm listening to all the stuff you have going on, and you still find time to lend your hand down to that struggling artist or that indie artist that nobody's heard of, and go, "Hey, man, come on, come this way," you know? Mm. Is that ingrained?
Well,
is that
because I'm still a music fan, no matter how much
perfect
I do, I still love music and love listening to new artists and helping new artists however I can. So yeah, I mean that's never going to change. That's just who I am. You can't prefabricate that or try to, you know, create that. You either are or you aren't. And there's, you know, there's a lot of musicians and artists like that. And I'm one of them just naturally, just because I love music and I always want to, you know, help the scene as much as I can.
Absolutely. And just out of curiosity, because, you know, everybody has this preconception on how it is that people develop relationships or how it is that people meet. You know, when you're... How do you come across somebody you're liking to listen to? Like, what does Mike Portnoy do when he gets up and goes, "I want to hear some new music"? What do you do? I mean, how is it that you run across certain bands or certain people? What are you doing?
Well, it's funny that you say that because this past year, a couple of my favorite albums and bands have stemmed from Max actually turning me on to it.
Perfect.
So actually, it's like, you know, we've kind of come full circle, but this is like for the first time in my life, my son is turning me on to music.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like even a couple days ago, he played me this new band from England that I'd never heard, this hardcore band. It was amazing. And then, you know, earlier in the year, he turned me on to this band, Vain, who I really love.
Their
latest album was one of my favorites of the year. So, you know, and then I'll inevitably tweet about a band like that, and then because I have an active social media you know, following, you know, the word gets out. You know, I'll just tweet about how much I love the Vain album, and next thing I know, it's like a headline on Metal Injection or Blabbermouth or whatever. And, you know, I'm not trying to make news out of it. I'm just trying to express enjoying something and liking something. But if it can help them and benefit them and bring attention to them, then I guess it's a win-win for everybody.
It is a win-win. So for Max, okay. So Max, you're bringing music to Dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have this? Do you ever have this thing in your head? You're like, okay, this better be good because if I put it in front of him, I mean, does this go through your head?
No.
Yes.
She shares it with me at all.
I know. You don't really dislike much, Dad. You kind of like all kind of music, so.
Mm-hmm.
Never like thinking he's gonna dislike anything. Normally, everything I show him, he usually likes. So, if I'm really enjoying like an album or something, I'll usually just bring it to him in passing, and he'll check it out or whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We have a very similar taste.
Okay. All right, I buy that. Yeah, I think it's that whole, like, well, you know, what Mike is saying, you know, being able to, now that, you know, my son's bringing me music versus me trying to turn, you know, him onto music. So listening to it, I just have this vision of his, like, okay, here, sire. You know, and that's just me being, you know, quirky and being fun and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you guys wind up in, and even you, Max, I mean, you do, the, you know, you wind up doing the same things too, where you'll come across stuff and you really like things and you like certain music and certain bands, and a lot of people are and I'm seeing this in the news too, okay, is, you know, there's a lot of people that are looking at you as far as, you know, even separately from your dad in terms of your talent and your opinion and what you've got going on. And so you're coming across these, you know, obviously for you, I'm thinking you're coming across these guys, you know, when you're out playing shows and you're with your band and you're trying to meet people and things like that. Are you reaching out to some of these bands and stuff when you find out that you like their music?
It, Not really.
Okay.
Most bands are still bigger than I am, so, like, so hard to reach out to them, but...
That is so cute.
I have to twist Max's arm to reach out to them to try to connect. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe hook up and tour together or something like that.
Why not? That's what I'm talking about.
I think Max is a little more shy than I am.
I know. We have to work on this. You know? I mean, it's kind of one of those. Max is so cute, though. He's like, no, they're bigger than
you. Yeah, you know, like, I would love for a band like Code Orange or, you know, Vane or whatever, any of these bands to hook up with Max and take him out, you know? Because Tala's awesome. Tala's, like, the most amazing live band I've ever seen. And they just, you put them in front of somebody else's audience, they're going to be absolutely floored.
Off the chain.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. You got to get out there and network and hook up with other bands and musicians, and you know that's how the whole thing works.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I haven't seen Tala live, but I've seen clips, and I'm in pain afterwards because it looks so intense. You know,
right?
And actually, I've talked about it a couple times.
Sure.
You know, on the air here that you know, just seeing the videos of those shows. Max, it's pretty impressive what you guys are doing.
Yeah, Max, you know, I'm not buying this. Okay, so what we're going to do is that screw this, I'm taking over. What we're going to do is that we're going to take part of this, you know, this interview, and we're going to cut it up a little bit for, like, this little part we're talking about, and I'm going to send it to Vane, and I'm gonna send it to these other bands going, dude, you know, come on. You know, this is just... I love it. Okay.
If I talk to someone from, like, a bigger band, like, I don't know, I always would rather just, like, keep it friendly or whatever rather than trying to get something out of them. I don't know.
Right. And you know, Max, I'm so glad that you brought that up. And you know, see, cool segue here. you know how many people that it's, I'm, believe it or not, even as outspoken, you know, as charming as I can be, I have a hard time too. You know, because I'm like, man, if I ask them that, they're going to like, oh, they're going to think I'm such a cheesy dork, or they're going to think I want something, or they're going to think, you know, and that's, you know, that's a real thing, you know, right, Mike? That's a real thing, you know, when somebody reaches out, you know, like that. And it's, there's got to be right way and wrong ways. And of course, I mean, I'm thinking that some of these bands and some of these people, and, you know, I'll think about, you know, think about your dad. I mean, there's some people that just simply go up to you and say, hey, man, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is, would you like it, man? What do you think? You know, surely that the right people will say yes, you know, and the right people will pull it in.
Well, I hope there's, you know, people, I always went out of my way to take younger bands out on tour. Like with Dream Theater, I always handpicked the openers, and through the years I took out Fate's Warning and Box Beard and Pain of Salvation and Porcupine Tree and Opeth. I mean, I literally handpicked all those bands between The Buried and Me, Big Elf, and I did that because I love what they were doing and wanted to give them some exposure. So you kind of hope that there's other people in the world like that too, and would, you know, that maybe would take Max's band out on tour or something like that, or even take one of my newer bands out on tour. You know, I would love the Sons of Apollo to get a cool opening slot for a really cool big band.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, I like to think that maybe karma, you know, is out there, and if you're the type of person that does good for people, that it will eventually come back around. And you know, there are people out there like that, and you hope that they're that. You know, things eventually come back around.
Well, they should. Absolutely, they should. When you're thinking about things like that, and yeah, and I'm glad, Mike, I'm glad that you said it. You know, you said it in that manner. And the thing about it is that when you're talking about shows and the big, you know, and especially even some of the bigger tours and things like that, it's so funny to me. It's so funny to me about how a lot of people take into their hands their own decisions as far as who should open and who shouldn't. You just made a statement that, hey, I like to handpick that. And I think we need more of that. I really do. You know, if a band's going to want somebody to tour with them, I think they should be able to have the choice in who's going to tour with them. So
it's tougher these days, though, because, you know, the money and the finances in the music industry are much different than it was, you know, years ago. So now, unfortunately, at a lot of these tours, bands have to buy on, and that's a big thing, where the opening bands have to buy onto the tour. So essentially, they're funding the tour for the headliner, which is, you know, it's pretty unfair.
You're right.
You know, but it's an unfortunate reality with how the music industry is in 2018.
Well, I tell you, for 2019, because I know you guys are going to be, you know, wrapping up here, and you guys got some things you kind of want to jump into, and we don't want to hijack your whole afternoon. So 2019, since this is your last interview, I want to take advantage of this. Your predictions for 2019, you know, for yourselves, you know, how you feel about what you got going on. What are you thinking?
Dad, you want to go first?
Well, I don't really have predictions. I have pretty concrete plans.
Never mind. That's right. He's booked till like June. Never mind.
I'm starting off the year going into the studio with Sons of Apollo to start work on the new album.
That's right.
With that. And then from there, I head out to NAMM and I do my annual metal show with Metal Allegiance.
Yep, yep.
In Anaheim, which is always a huge, huge show each year for us. From there, I start rehearsals with the Neil Morse Band, and we kick off that tour. We start with Cruise to the Edge, and also on Cruise to the Edge, I have a really cool special set planned for myself, kind of a solo show.
Oh, nice.
And from there, Neil Morse Band is on tour throughout America and throughout Europe through in the spring, and then in May, I'm going to go do a kind of one-off American tour with the Winery Dogs, which will be a lot of fun.
Yes, yes.
And from there, in the summertime, in July, I have my own band music camp that I'm going to be doing in Arizona.
It's
primarily a drum camp with myself and Simon Phillips and Greg Bissonette and Blake Richardson from Between the Buried and Me.
Yeah.
But we also have some guitar players and bass players. So we have Alex Skolnick, Chris Broderick, and Tony McAlpine on guitar. And Billy Sheehan and Dave LaRue on bass, and that's happening in July in Scottsdale. And I want everybody to come on out to that because that's going to be cool. It's for musicians and
I want to go. I can't play
different levels, and that takes me to July. So summertime, the live Sons of Apollo DVD that I've been working on, that'll be coming out as well. So
very nice.
That's pretty much the first half of 2019 for me, and then hopefully by the end of the year, the Flying Colors album will be finished, and that will come out, and fingers crossed that maybe we could do some shows with that. So
wow.
I don't know. That's like four, five, six different bands right there.
Yeah, I know. Well, and see, okay, so, we didn't even need a crystal ball with you. Okay. and I want to go to that camp. I can't play. I can sing.
You could go just to be entertained and just to experience
an
intimate environment with all these amazing musicians. And not only are we all doing individual workshops and classes, but each and every night there'll be big giant jam sessions with all of us together. So even if you don't play, if you're just a music fan, come on out. You're gonna have the amazing once in a lifetime experience with something like that.
See, he just let the floodgates open. I'm so excited. That's so awesome. Awesome. All right, so Max, what's your predictions?
I don't have nearly as much as him going on, but
yeah, you do.
I'm just doing all the stuff again, kind of like just grinding more stuff. Like we have the rest of the year off, which is kind of nice.
And, yeah,
and a lot of stuff in January we're just kind of like planning and stuff. But like February, we already have a bunch of shows and like a weekend run planned and stuff. So we're just trying to, same as 2018, just get out more.
Nice.
As much as we can.
Nice. Okay, we're gonna get you. 2019, we're going to get Max Portnoy out of his shell.
Now, I know what I want for 2019.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got to toot Max's horn here. He's nominated for best up-and-coming drummer in the modern drummer polls this year.
Look at
and
that.
I think there's only one or two more days worth of voting before the polls close.
Okay.
And to me, that would be the ultimate New Year's president to see. I mean, look, even the fact that he's nominated, that's enough right there. That's pretty freaking amazing.
It is amazing.
To win that would be like an absolute dream come true, because I won Best Up and Coming Drummer 93, so it's 25 years ago. So to see something like that come back around 25 years later would be the most incredible honor for a father.
I'm
the
my
proudest,
God.
Proudest
That's
thing
serendipity.
I could
You need to vote, people.
You need to vote, people. I mean, I just had this whole like total feng shui moment that happened in my head with that. That is so amazing. That would be okay. So yes, that will be the deal for Max. And here's a humble, quiet young gentleman. He's so shy, and he's been nominated, you know, on Modern Drummer.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it anymore, Max. Okay. Good job.
Well, if he wins, then maybe he'll get really loud and he'll just become a more like me.
Yes.
So maybe if he wins, that's how you can get out of a shell. Get him to win this award.
Get him to win this award. That's what we're wanting. Max, you're gonna do fantastic, and it is a absolute pleasure watching you just grow and even grow in your own way.
You know what? This is our third time talking to Max.
Yeah,
I just remembered that now. Like, we talked to him, like. Mm-hmm. In March.
No, we talked to him before we talked to Mike. Yeah. Because we were joking with Mike because he could never like line his schedule up with us. And so he became that guy who shall not be named until he called in. I don't know if you knew that, Mike, but now you do. And he called in and said, but yeah, you know, and this is one of those things where I want this to be a Christmas tradition, because every year that we get to talk to them, I can see how Max is just is catching up on the forefront of stuff, and I want to see them. I want to see that crash in the middle, and I want to see him explode. Yeah. I want to see it.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Guys, I know you got stuff to do and things. I want to thank you for taking time down and hanging out with us right here on Radio Memphis. It means so much to us.
Our pleasure. We gotta go Christmas shopping now.
Yeah, because you only have like less than 48 hours. I know. Well, listen, go enjoy your holidays, okay? And again, we'll make sure that we get people to send in, to vote and all that good stuff. All right.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too, honey.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
See ya.
All right. I forgot to bring up the deal about the song, the Great Adventure song.
Oh.
But that's okay, because we're still here and we're still talking about it. I know, I could have talked to them forever, and I would have kept them on the phone forever, those of you that have been tuned in, we were catching up with Max and Mike Portnoy, the Port Boys, for the holiday season. It has become quite the tradition right here on around Radio Memphis and stuff, and we can't thank them enough. And it is so cool to listen to, kind of what they've got going on. Max, definitely one of the follow, especially with him taking that, taking that direction that he's taken with his new band Tala, that he's been working really hard on and kind of grinding some things out for this past year. And so he's very direct, he's very focused, and he's very, very much like his dad in his head on stuff like that. So
it is interesting, now that I'm thinking about that first interview. It's very interesting to see how much he's grown.
Well, that's why it was immediate.
We talked to Randy the other night.
It was immediate.
How much he grew in schedule wise, but just grown as a musician, like and as a, not even so much the musician side of it, but the entertainer side of it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you can hear it in his voice and just the way he carries himself.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, one of the things about, Mr. Mike Portnoy, everybody loves him. And yes, seeing him on stuff everywhere is insane. Absolutely insane. He's trying to make a mark. He's trying to do some cool stuff, including you guys may have been seeing a couple of posts and a couple of things about the Great Adventure that is happening, with him and with the Neil Morse band. In fact, this past week, a video came out actually for a song that we have right here in studio that we're going to be playing for you guys, The Great Adventure itself. Now, you guys, as you heard from Mike, they are working on some stuff. They're going to be going on tour. They did just release a video for The Great Adventure. It's going to be, it's the title track. You'll be able to catch that if you want to be able to check that out, and all the normal suspects.
This song has been stuck in my head since Tuesday morning.
Nice. And I tell you, Neil Morse, busy man.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, sir, on your daughter's wedding and everything else. And I'm glad that everything went well with that. But, with no further ado, since this little prog time moment that slammed into around the world, brought to you by the Port Boys and all that good stuff, I think what we need to do, though, is that we need to go ahead and play that song for everybody. Now, this, again, you guys want to kind of check it out, see what's going on with it. Make sure that you keep an eye out on the Neil Morse Band. You keep an eye out on their schedule. Keep an eye out for all their tours that are going to be coming across the states as well as across seas. And in the meantime, you want to keep your ears out for this song right here. It's The Great Adventure, and you're only going to hear it right now on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.